And if you're a believer in Christ, listen, if you are a believer in Christ, if you are believing, let's establish what that means. It doesn't mean just somebody says, yeah, I believe in God, and I believe, you know, Jesus this. No. Let me tell you what a believer in Christ is. A believer in Christ is somebody who has embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's what that means. It means that you do not consider yourself good enough to please God, because you're not. You recognize that you are a wretched sinner. I talked to a neighbor yesterday. I've been wanting to preach the gospel to this man for years. And I finally worked up the courage. Chicken. I'm chicken. But I did it. And he stood and he said to me, I'm going to heaven. And I said, why? I'm good. I'm good enough. And I tried to appeal to him. He said, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm good. Sir, ma'am, if you're in this room today, and even a little bit of you thinks that somehow you've done something good enough to earn your way into heaven, you are in great danger. Let me plead with you today. God's word says there is none good. None. No, not one. There is none righteous. No, not one. Your sin is so much bigger than you think it is. You have broken God's laws. You have lied. Therefore, you're a liar. You have stolen. You're a thief. You have looked with lust. That makes you an adulterer, Jesus said in your heart. You've taken God's name and blasphemed with it, and on, dirty thoughts, wrong thoughts. You haven't loved God with all your heart, and you're going to stand before the judge of the universe on judgment day. And if you stand there in your sins, you will go to hell and spend eternity there. But here is the good news. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, and he went to the cross as your substitute, because great, great punishment had to be poured out on your sin, because it's that bad. And I appeal to you, if you've never seen it as that bad, ask God to help you see it as that bad. It was so bad that the perfect, righteous Son of God had to go to the cross. And there, he bore the wrath of God for you. He took your punishment, and he was creamed on the cross. He was smitten on the cross, and he did it gladly, because God demonstrated his love for you, and that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. And he died there. And then he rose again the third day, and he ascended to the Father. That's the gospel. And so if you're to be a believer in Christ, you go to him, not as somebody who thinks your good's going to outweigh your bad. You go to him as a sinner, a lowly sinner, and you say, oh, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent. Lord, my sin has grieved you first and foremost. It has broken your heart, God. And I am ashamed and I am sorry, God. I repent. Help me to turn from these wicked ways. And then you say, Jesus, I can't get there, but you came and you died for me and you gave your life for me. I believe you did that. I believe you shed your blood to wash away all my sins. And I put my faith in you, Jesus. Jesus, I reach out to you and I trust that you died for me and rose again. And Lord, by faith now, I believe in you and I ask you to save my soul. And you know what he'll do? He'll save your soul just like that. And then you're a believer in Christ. So if you are a believer in Christ, if you are not, before this service is over, before you go home today, come to Jesus. His arms are reached out to you in great mercy, in great love. He came to save your soul. For those who are believers in Christ, you then are seeking a homeland, and you are made for a person, Jesus, and you're made for a place, heaven. And these people are seeking this homeland. How do you seek the homeland? How do you seek it? You think about it. You make plans for it. You set your eyes on it. You call it home. And you ask God to stamp eternity on your eyes. Let's do that just real quickly. Just somebody you're sitting beside, just lovingly, this is 30 seconds. I just want you to pray for them. Would you pray for them? Pray that God would stamp eternity on their eyes. That's what Jonathan Edwards used to pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I do pray for all of us here that you would stamp eternity on our eyes. Help us to see it, Lord. Help us to see it. Verse 15 says, truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. What that means is, if they had kept thinking about here on earth, they would have clung to earth. They would have held on to it. You and I have choices to make every day. Do you know that? We choose what we're going to put our mind and eyes on. And we are living in a world system that is trying to get our focus here. What is that world system? The world system says this, and it preaches. Do you know that you're being preached at every day by this world? Did you know that? People around you, friends, the media. And you know what they're preaching? Here's what they're preaching. They're preaching God is irrelevant if he exists. He is irrelevant. He is just this religious figure. You go do your Sunday thing maybe and then get on with normal life, with real life. God says, no! This is irrelevant. I am the only relevant thing. And it's preaching at you, life is about now and here. And God says, no! This is passing away. There's no substance to it. Life is about there. And the world is preaching to you. People who are thinking about heaven are nutcases. You hear it. Don't you hear it? Everywhere, anywhere you look, you listen to what they're saying. You are an idiot. They are preaching at you. You mean to tell me you're going to waste your time when you have these years on earth? You're going to waste your time thinking about stuff that's fantasy land? And God says, no! This is fantasy land. That's the only reality. What are you going to choose? What are you going to think about? It says Moses was in Pharaoh's house. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had it all. You know what it says he did? He chose to forsake that so that he wouldn't cling to the passing pleasures of sin. And he chose to suffer instead with God's people. And you know why? This is really good. See, sometimes we look at that and we say, oh yeah, I got to be more spiritual. I got to be more godly. I got to be more just selfless and be willing to live a life of suffering. Now, there is truth to that. But Moses had a motivation. And it says this, the reason he did it, because he looked to the reward. He knew what was coming. And he said, are you kidding me? These passing pleasures of sin get a little high here and there for an eternity of destruction? You've got to be kidding me. I'm looking to the reward. What are you choosing? What are you going to choose tomorrow to think about? What are you going to look at? And then the 16 says, now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He's prepared a city for them. This heavenly God, or this heavenly country that God has prepared, it is a country without filth and garbage and dirt, without graffiti and without problems and without aches and pains and without relational strife and without conflict and without difficulty and without all this stuff that causes to groan. And it is a country with ecstatic, continual, growing joy and happiness and peace. And it only gets better and better and better. That is the heavenly country. And God has prepared it for us. Listen, God's prepared it. And He says He's not ashamed to be called their God. Why? Because there's something special about it? No. It's just because they look and say, wow, look what God prepared. I want that. And God says, because they want that, when they see what I've done, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. I want it, Lord. And God knows the struggle you have. God knows the pull of the flesh and the pull of the world. And he knows you've got to fight through. But by grace, he will help you to do it. He'll help you to set your eyes. He is prepared. Jesus said, disciples are in gloom and doom. He's ready to go to the cross. They sense something is really tough. And what does he say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, here's what he points them to. He doesn't just do some pie in the sky. He gives them literal, objective hope. Guys, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, many homes. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, which means I'm going to die to do that, it's going to be tough the next few days, and it's going to be really... But this is a way of me going to do that. And when I go to do that, I'm going to come back and get you, and I'm going to take you with me, and so you can be with me. Where are you thinking? Where are your eyes? Where's your hope? I guarantee you're not going to walk in victory on this planet without an eternal focus. You can't. There's just too much difficulty. There's too much problems. So how do you do it? How do you think eternally? You set the mind. Notice in your notes, you set your mind. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Not dwelling and thinking about here. The more you dwell on eternity, the happier and freer you will be. And the more wrapped up you are in this life, the more anxious and depressed you will be. And the reason is because you were recreated in Christ for that place. You were recreated in Christ for that person. He is our treasure. He just didn't make a way for us to get there. He is the objective of us getting there, to be with Him. If He's not your treasure on earth, then you're going to have a hard time relating to Him being your treasure in heaven. So how do we foster internal focus? I got all kinds of stuff written down there for you. I gave you scriptures to meditate on that could help. These aren't things you have to do to be a good Christian. These are things that will help you. Read Revelation regularly. Read biographies of men and women of God who gave their lives for the gospel. Read Voice of the Martyr magazine. Get the prescription. Yeah, that's a good prescription, actually. Get a subscription to it. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Think about the gospel. Preach the gospel. Pray, Lord, stamp eternity in my eyes. Buy Randy Alcorn's books. I've got all those written down there. Read Pilgrim's Progress again and again. And then get out and regularly share your faith. And be wise and live for eternity. Martin Luther said there's only 2 days. There's only 2 days that are worth thinking about. Not yesterday or tomorrow, but this day and that day where we're going to stand before God. This day and that day. And you know what he said? Make sure to live this day for that day. Make sure to live this day. So this day is attached. It's attached to eternity. Okay. Anybody ever hear of Francis Chan? I saw a neat little thing that he did, illustration, and I'm going to borrow it from him. Okay, you ready for this? Okay. Jeremiah, come here, buddy. Jeremiah, pull the rest of that. Let me have this. And you pull the rest of it on out. No, pull it out that way. Take it on out. Okay. Now this rope, what I'd love to do is get everybody to get up and walk out with me and see where the rope goes. But I won't disrupt the service that much. Okay? If you can imagine this rope, it goes on. Did you all see it when you came in? Okay. I want you to picture that where it really goes is out into the fellowship hall. Okay? It's a long rope. But I want you to picture this rope goes past the fellowship hall, out the door, out the building, around the block, and around the world 500 times, and then out into space. Okay? You with me? All right. This rope represents forever. That's what it represents. Forever. Forever. Now, we can't get our minds around forever, but forever is forever. And it is like a timeline. It's a timeline of your life.